Second Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 has 18 verses.
The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
What he's trying to say, up to now what he taught to us, he said, did you keep everything in your mind? Only the God's things will be stirred up and keep in your mind when you have pure mind. If your mind is messed up with a worldly thing, you will never remember what you're learning from the Word of God. If you read the Word of God like a people reading like a storybook, or sometimes they stand in the bus stop and start reading their regular books because one after another story comes. If you read like that the Bible, you will not understand the Word of God.
Amen.
Bible should be read with a prayer and understand it. If your heart is not changed, you will never understand the Word of God. There are doctors and lawyers and so many highly educated people, but this book, when they read, they do not understand at all. It takes the Spirit of God to inspire you to understand the Word of God. So that's why he says you have to have a pure mind. If you're listening to Word of God and if your mind wanders somewhere else, you will not understand the Word of God. So give thought to the Word of God. Let's read the words too.
That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
The people who do not want people to listen to the word of God, they will come and they will tell you the word of God is not true. I can tell you there are so many scholars, they get together and they analyze the Bible and they say this is not should be in the Bible, and they change the words. They will say, when there is a, you should be the son of God or the child of God, they will say, let's put there a children of God. If there is a word says he, we shall, let's say she. What I'm trying to say, there are scoffers there to change the word and try to bring doubt in your heart. It started from the beginning. When God says to Adam and Eve that the day you will eat this fruit, you surely die. That word surely means there is no doubt about it. The devil comes and said, it's not true what God told you, and try to put doubt in their hearts. Same way these scoffers are doing. What they're trying to say, he says, you know, Peter is saying all the prophets came before us. They were talking about Jesus Christ coming. Peter says from the beginning the prophets were talking and they did not understand. Not only that, in the second word he says, the God commanded apostles saying about the Lord Jesus Christ, they ignored from the beginning until the today what we are preaching. And then he's saying, the verse 4, there is the promise of his coming. Where is the promise of his coming? For the since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Who is saying this? The scoffers. He says, whatever is happening from the beginning of the creation, nothing changed. Is it true? Take up the from the beginning. Now the in the beginning, if you go and read in the book of Jude, verse 14 to 21, and then we'll come back to this verse.
And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
The seventh man from Adam prophesied. What he prophesied? That Jesus is coming. He is coming with the 10,000s of angels, and he is coming. Now you see, this was before the flood. This was before the Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And this was before Jesus Christ came into this world. So when he prophesied, now when we read, Jude is saying, these people were doing all these bad things at that particular time. The Enoch was saying, Jesus Christ is coming and he is coming to this world. Now these scoffers are saying, Enoch said this thing. They did not use the word Enoch, but they are saying all these prophets, are whatever they're saying, is not happening. From the beginning of the creation, everything is smooth. Is it everything smooth? No. Because when the man committed sin, in the book of Genesis chapter 6 we read, it says every man's heart was evil and they were doing continuously evil. And what happened? God sent the flood and all that world was destroyed. Many people were destroyed. Is everything continued from the beginning of the creation? No. Then the Sodom and Gomorrah, when people committed sin, God destroyed the whole that Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that everything is going smooth from the beginning? No. So what's happening? These scoffers are coming and trying to tell you nothing has changed. Our forefathers, they were thinking about these things and waiting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come. Now they are trying to say from the beginning, before the flood, Enoch prophesied, nothing happened. So what their point is? Their point is this: Jesus Christ is not coming back. Don't worry about Jesus Christ coming, and that's the kind of poison they are putting in the hearts of the believers today.
Amen.
There are so many people will tell you Jesus Christ is not coming.
Yes.
Because he says from the beginning of the creation, everything is happening, nothing happening, and nothing is going to change. If you go and read the Hindu philosophy or even the philosopher, they say it's nothing new. Everything is going in a circle. Whatever happened 1,000 years ago is going to happen again, and that's going to be circle and circle, and nothing is going to change. That is the scoffers coming and telling and destroying the Christian faith. Let's read verse 5. 2 Peter 3:5.
For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Willingly, they are ignorant. They knew what happened in the time of Noah. They know how God destroyed the world. But they do not want to know that another destruction is coming. The word of God is so pure. When the God gives the promise, he said, I'm not going to destroy this world again by water. So what people thought, hey, no flood is coming. No flood coming, and God is not going to destroy. But we see today how many times everywhere there are flood, but not the whole world is destroyed. But we say, few days ago, California, there's a mudslide. So many houses were gone. Millions and millions of dollar houses went in the water. And many other places is happening.
Okay.
But God is saying, don't worry. I'm not going to destroy this world with the water again, because he promised and he put the rainbow. Sometimes when a heavy rain comes, 3-4 days rain comes continuously, you will see the rainbow on the sky. He's still reminding that I'm not going to destroy this world with the water again. So that means people thinking it's nothing is going to happen. But what he said, now the same world is kept for what? The fire. The God is going to destroy this world with the fire.
Amen. Amen.
And you might have heard many a time, I'm not giving anybody's name, but you heard many a time that this world is not going to vanish away. The man comes on TV, he tells you this world is not going to go away. This world is going to be there. If you that kind of preaching comes from the person who is a scholar, who knows the Bible very well, and start teaching this world is not going to go away, then the teaching of Jesus Christ become useless. Go to the book of St. John chapter 14 and read first three verses.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
What is this promise? I'm going to go to my Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come back and I will take you where I am. So if Jesus Christ is saying, I'm going to go to my Father and I'll come back and I'll take you there. And he says, you know the way. If you read the following words, read the words, verse 5. 4 and 5. Keep on reading up to 6.
And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
In Matthew chapter 6, what is it?
Our Father.
Our Father. Where is he?
In heaven.
In heaven.
Amen.
Our Father. You are in heaven. So if you believe that our Father is in heaven, then Jesus says, if somebody wants to come to Father, they have to come through me.
Amen.
So he's trying to say, I'm going to go to Father. In Father's house there are so many mansions, but I'm going to make one a better for you. And when I prepare the mansion, I will come back and I will take you with me. And many people got mixed up about the second coming of Christ teaching. I don't want to give the names of the very well-known preachers and well-known established churches. Some people are believing there is no rapture. They say their word is not in the Bible rapture, so there is no rapture in the word of God and there won't be any rapture. If they say like that, then the First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18 becomes useless. You understand the word of God?
Amen.
If you say there is no rapture, then the First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, we should take it out from the Bible. There is a rapture. Jesus Christ is coming. He's going to take his bride with him.
Amen.
And then the word of God says there will be great tribulation. So there is a judgment. Let's read the 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 one more time. 2 Peter 3 7.
But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
When you're saying the judgment, the day of judgment, this world is going to be destroyed, then people get confused. World is not going to be destroyed right away. Let me give the little bit idea, then we'll go to the word of God. First of all, Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming for his bride. When he takes the bride away, then the disaster comes. That's called tribulation. The bride is not going to go through tribulations. So we are going to escape the tribulation. When the bride is taken out, then the tribulation starts. Let's read Matthew chapter 24. Start reading from verse 29 and 30.
Immediately after the tribulation.
See, he said, immediately after the tribulation. Okay.
Of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Oh, okay, now what is that? After the tribulation, immediately, Jesus Christ is coming with a great glory. And now when Jesus Christ is coming, why he's coming? Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 19 and start reading from verse 11.
And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Amen.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
This prophecy will be fulfilled as the eunuch prophesied. And in Jude we read that. Okay, go ahead.
And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
Start reading from verse 19.
And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
Now see, it's very clear. Jesus Christ is coming, and he's not going to delay. First he comes, takes the bride, then the disaster starts, and then after, immediately after the tribulation, Jesus Christ is coming. Why he's coming? He's coming to rule, we heard, ruling with a rod of iron. That means his judgment will be so great. And so the Word of God says we are going to be with him and serving with him as a kings and priests. We are coming back to reign with Jesus Christ. After the millennium is over, the millennium will be what? For 1,000 years. In 1,000 years, we will be having a good time with the Lord. No sickness, no disease, no death. Only there will be death. Only sinners will die.
Amen.
And they will not die premature. There won't be any abortion clinics. And there won't be somebody killing their babies. And no baby will die. They will be living 100 year old. But for the believers, there will be no death. We will be living forever. The believers, there is no judgment, even the time of judgment. Now, when this world will be destroyed, this world will be not destroyed before the tribulation. This world will be not destroyed during the tribulation. Will not be destroyed during the millennium, but this world will be destroyed after the millennium. But some people will teach you this world will not be destroyed after millennium. John saw the New Jerusalem coming from heaven as a bride, and he thought that's coming and landing on this earth. In those days, they did not know the scientific things. Now, for example, some Hindu people were saying, if you read their books, they're saying the earth is standing on the snake, Nagina. And those Nagina are supporting the earth.
Yes, boy.
But now they would know Nagina will not be supporting because its earth is hanging, means some outer space. Same way they thought the moon is their god and they start worshipping, but now we know we landed on the moon, means we landed on their god. So now there is, we know that moon is not a god, it's a planet, some place, outer space. So what I'm trying to say, when somebody is saying that John saw the vision that New Jerusalem came out of heaven. Now this is just like when you sing, he's showing you a picture. And when you see the picture, you have a movie camera, you focus and bring it closer, the picture, and sometimes you push the picture far away. That technology was not there when the John was talking. He didn't know how to explain. So God showed him, this is a New Jerusalem where the bride is going to stay. This is the place for bride. Now if somebody starts saying, Jesus Christ is coming in this New Jerusalem and old Jerusalem is going to change to New Jerusalem, go and read the measurement about this New Jerusalem. Is that going to fit on that old Jerusalem place? It never will fit. So that theory, what they're saying, this world is not going to vanish away and we are going to stay on this earth. I said to them, you better stay on that earth. I'm not going to stay on that earth. I'm going to live with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because the word of God is saying, when this millennium is finished, we learn in this Revelation 19 chapter, the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Right.
They are the one working in the tribulation, telling you to take the 66 number, telling you there is no God, you don't worship Jesus. All this is going to happen in the tribulation time. And many, many will be killed and martyrs. But at that particular time, no one has the power to destroy the Antichrist or the false prophets. False prophets works for Antichrist. He is his spokesperson. But the word of God says when Jesus Christ came, the Antichrist and the false prophets were caught and put them in the lake of fire alive. And then the millennium started. After this, all people died. And the word of God says before it starts, you read in Revelation chapter 20, there is another enemy called what? Old serpent or the devil. What happened to him? Let's read.
And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit.
Amen.
And a great chain in his hand.
Amen.
And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years.
Now see, it's very clear. No one has the power to bind the devil.
Amen.
Devil is like a spirit. Can you hold on to spirit and cast him? No. But God has the power.
Amen.
He is the only one knows where the devil is.
Amen.
And his time has come. So he said, okay, he's going to bind him with a chain and put it in the what? Bottomless pit.
Yes.
So when he is put there, what is happening? He's kept on falling. He wants to land somewhere. He could not land. How many years? 1,000 years. He keep on falling, keep on falling, keep on falling. He's a fallen angel and he will keep on falling and no bottom for him. Nowhere to stand. So when this thing happens, then there will be peaceful kingdom for 1,000 years.
Amen.
No interference of enemy, no interference of devil, peaceful kingdom. So people are getting mixed up with the millennium and eternity kingdom, and they put it together like a millennium kingdom will be the everlasting kingdom. And what they will bring, they will say Jesus Christ is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will be continuing the kingdom of David. Angel came and talked to Mary. They says, the David's kingdom will not have any end. His kingdom forever and ever and ever. Then they will take that verse and they say, okay, if that kingdom started in the Jerusalem and Jesus Christ came, so that kingdom should not be finished at all. Continuously. But that kingdom only continued for 1,000 years. Then what happened? The kingdom headquarter changes from the earth to heaven.
Heaven, right.
Same king, yes. Jesus Christ, but the headquarter changes from just like Philadelphia was the capital of America. You remember? Then you change from Philadelphia to some other place. That doesn't mean America changed, capital changed.
Yeah, that's right.
The kingdom is the same. So the same way, the Jesus capital will change from one place to another place, because this place has to be destroyed.
Right.
If this place doesn't have to be destroyed, then
right.
our God will say, I cannot create anything else.
Amen.
Whatever I create in this fuzzy or bad world, we are going to put up with this. Let's make it a little bit, repair a little bit, and make it a little bit better. Our God is not like that. Our God is a creator.
Amen.
He can create a new thing.
Amen.
This world, after the millennium, has to be destroyed. John chapter 5, and start reading from verse 28 to 30. He says, judgment is given to Jesus Christ, and he's going to judge the people.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me.
Now here Jesus Christ is saying, the time is coming, the dead will hear the voice, and all the dead will be raised. Now, he says, some of them for the damnation, and some of them for the blessings. Now, people get confused. Now, if you hear this word, and there are theories are made from this, they will say, nobody is going to resurrected until Jesus Christ is coming. Now, this judgment is not as the Jesus Christ comes. This judgment will be after the millennium. There will be sinners there. You understand? Those sinners will be there. Some of the sinners will be there in a millennium, and they will die when they are 100 years old. So those people has to judge, right? Those people are not judged right away. Those people, they have to wait until the millennium is over. And the people who died from the time of Adam until today, some of the people committed sins and they are still dead, and they are waiting for the judgment. And the last time we learned, if you are remembering, that some of the angels did not do the right thing, they were also caught and put it in the prison in a chain, waiting for the judgment. They are not judged yet. So all of these people will be judged. But for judgment is not for us.
Mm-hmm.
You go ahead and read the same chapter, verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
But all the other people who died in sin, all these people who are going to die as a sinner, they have to wait until the last day. That's why Jesus Christ is saying, all the righteous people will be resurrected as Jesus Christ comes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, we read that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Now this is a comforting word, but if you don't believe in rapture, this word is not good for you. So the rapture will happen, all the believers in Christ, dead and alive, will be gone. And what happens in the people who died in the tribulation? I'm talking about the righteous people who died for Jesus Christ and did not take the mark. They will be transformed right away and go to heaven. With the white robes. And who are these people? He said these people are the martyrs. So all those people will be there. And all of these people will be coming back with Jesus Christ when he comes with a great glory. We read it a few minutes ago. Now go back to the Matthew chapter 25. And let's read from verse 31.
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. For him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
What the John said in the chapter 5, this is what's happening. Now here he says, they will be judged like a goat in the left and the sheep on the right hand. And they will be judged. Now, they are not judged in the time of millennium. They will be judged after the millennium. Until then, they all have to stay there. The children of God will be ruling and having a good time with Jesus Christ. But the sinners will be still in the dust. Means still on ground, they won't coming out. So here the word of God is saying that judgment is waiting. Let's read the verse 41.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
Lake of fire was prepared for whom? Devil? Then somebody saying, then why these people are going in hell? They are going by themselves. God did not prepare the hell for you and for me.
Amen.
It was prepared for the devil.
That's right.
The people who follow the devil, they are going to follow him. Amen. If somebody says, how God is so cruel, he made hell for you. No, he did not make hell for you. He wants you to be saved. We read in the word of God, God is waiting. Why God did not destroy the people? He said, in the eyes of God, one day as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a one day. And why God is waiting? He said, God is waiting patiently, so we should repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The judgment is coming. And that's what he said. Those coffers are saying there is no judgment. Nothing is going to change. Everything is coming from the beginning and nothing changed. Don't listen to these preachers. But he is saying those coffers are liars. Because he said everything is not going smooth according to what they said, but is happening today. And then what the word of God says, once the millennium is over, this judgment is coming. Where this judgment? Let's read the book of Revelation chapter 20. Start reading from verse 7. 20 verse 7 to 15.
And when the thousand years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven.
This is the fire comes from heaven and destroy the earth. Not some people are saying the nuclear war and nuclear energy is going to destroy and renovate this, you know, purify this earth. Nuclear bomb never purify.
No way.
It destroys. And that earth is not renovated. Now listen what he's saying, what happens to this earth. Okay, go ahead.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away.
Okay, when the judgment wanted to start, what happened? This earth and heaven, this old earth, where the devil is ruling and the king of this earth, all fade away. It's going away. Go ahead.
And there was found no place.
Okay. Now once you say this earth and heaven passed away or fled away and there was no room for them, billions of people from the Genesis until today, there won't be room for this old earth to stand. The population will be too many. People will not have room. So this world has to be passed away.
Amen.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So now you know the judgment is after the millennium. Then God sets his throne. Where will be throne? Somewhere in the outer space. We don't know. Mm-hmm. It's not on the earth because earth will be gone.
Amen.
The heaven will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, God has set a place at the throne. God will be judging. And who is the judge? Jesus Christ will be the judge.
That's right. Yeah.
Today, he says, "Oh, heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
Tomorrow, he will say, "I am going to judge you because you did not listen to me what I said." Jesus Christ is going to judge you. So that this world has to pass. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, and then we'll come back to the revelation later on. Let's read from verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night,
yes,
in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Amen.
The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Okay, when? After the millennium.
That's right.
Yes, when the white throne of judgment is standing, that's the time this world is going to pass away. So Jesus Christ is not going to tell you the day he's coming.
True.
That's why so many people predicted the day and they were wrong. No one can predict the day of Jesus Christ, what day he's coming to pick up the bride or what day he's coming in the glory. No one can set the date, and if you set the date, that date will be wrong. Okay, let's go further.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat?
He says you should be hasting the day. How can we do it? He says, Jesus Christ is coming. Can we make it faster to Jesus to come? What are the ways we can do? The gospel has to preach all over the world, then Jesus Christ will come.
Amen.
Do you know in Jerusalem, where Jesus Christ was born in that particular area, gospel is not preached there yet. They don't allow you to preach the gospel there. So what I'm trying to say, we can hasten the day. We have to go and tell somebody Jesus Christ is coming and prepare the people for his coming. Verse 13.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, hope for heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Okay, now Peter is trying to say now, if some prophet or TV preacher or somebody telling you this is the world is going to renovate it and make it new, Let Peter say, nevertheless, we according to his promise. What promise? Jesus says, I'm coming. And Jesus said, I'm coming to take you to heaven and you will be with me. That's his promise. Jesus Christ is not going to change his promise. So he says, according to that promise, look for new heaven and new earth.
That's right.
Wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Yes.
The Spirit is plainly saying, don't look at this old ragged, dirty looking world. Look for the new heaven and new earth. And you believe what God said. Don't believe what the TV preacher says.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
Okay, what is trying to say? Paul talk about heaven? All other prophets talks about, but they do not understand. And if they don't understand and they start teaching something wrong, they are doing for their own destruction. Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth and what? Truth shall set you free. He's very clear and very plain saying that Jesus Christ is coming. And when he'll establish the kingdom for 1,000 years, after the 1,000 years, the devil will be destroyed. They will be white throne at judgment. After the judgment, God is going to create new heaven and new earth.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to the Revelation.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away.
Okay, passed away. When somebody says, my dad passed away. What happened? He died. Passed away. Not there anymore. And when you read in Revelation chapter 21, he says, it's finished. It's gone.
Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, all from your own steadfastness.
Okay, what is trying to say? If you're steadfasting in Jesus Christ, this kind of wrong teaching should not be shake your faith. Don't move with the winds of doctrine and fly away. Hold on to your truth and hold on your ground. Doesn't matter who other person teaches wrong thing. We have to teach the truth. God wants unity, but unity comes in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
If there is no unity, there is no Spirit of God dwelling. If the wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. If the people are not in the Spirit of God, they are not born again, they are not filled with the Holy Spirit, they are bound to their own doctrine. Okay, let's read the verse 18.
But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. He started from the grace and the knowledge. He says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Keep on learning about Jesus Christ. Keep on knowing about Jesus Christ. Keep him in your heart and your mind. And what? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of God daily. Jesus Christ is coming. Shall we rise? We are not going to be changed by the winds of doctrine. I am looking for the better place that Jesus promised me. Some people have $1 million house. They don't want to give up this house. They say, we're coming into back, living in this same rugged, beautiful house. But those houses are not promised by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ promised that say, I am going to prepare a place for you. And then he's coming. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you.
Thank you, Lord,
for giving us grace to understand the truth. And your word say, you shall know the truth and truth shall set you free.
Amen.
We believe that whatever your word says, it's not going to change. Scoffers will come and try to destroy our faith. But we are going to hold on to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We are going to look unto Jesus Christ and walk the walk of faith. No one can change our mind, because our mind is the mind of Christ. And Jesus dwells in us. And we are waiting for Jesus Christ to come. Father, give us grace to look up for your coming. Give us grace to keep our life pure and holy, to overcome the demonic forces in our houses, in our churches, in our community, in our country. Let the Jesus rule. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.